is commensurate with our understanding. Again, our worship is commensurate with our understanding. We've emphasized before that the root word, the root concept of worship is worth. To the extent that we recognize the worth of our Lord, we worship Him. If we don't recognize much worth, He doesn't get much worship from us. The more that we recognize Him as our treasure, our one and only, the more that we understand the pricelessness of who He is and what He has done for us, the more that we will worship Him. The Church of Laodicea had an issue. They were lukewarm. Other things were more valuable to them than the Lord. Other things consumed their focus, their time, their energy. And Jesus said to them, "You are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. You have nothing of value to me." You and I have value to the Lord today because of Jesus. We don't have value in ourselves. We sang it today. I am without merit. I'm undeserving. But God, out of the riches of His glorious grace in Christ Jesus, has loved us, chosen us, adopted us. Nothing else in all this world could purchase our salvation. Nothing else could make us right with God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is through the work of Jesus Christ that God has blessed us. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the words of blessing with which the Apostle Paul opened his letters, as well as Peter. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you and I see one another and greet each other, it should not be in the same way that we greet those who are not believers. For we recognize in one another someone who has experienced the riches of God's glorious grace. Someone who has been chosen by God even before the creation of the world, adopted by Him, and for whom provision has been made that makes them perfect in the sight of God. Cherished by God the Father. You see, those of us who are in Christ are loved to the extent that the Father loves His one and only. You see, when God looks at you, He does not see your goodness. But He has given us Christ. He has deposited His Spirit within us. He has placed us in Christ. And so when God looks at you, He first of all sees Christ, and inside, there's you. For our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, "When Christ appears, you also will appear with Him in glory." Amen. You see, God loves us as He loves His Son. The destiny of the Son is our destiny.
Amen.
The inheritance of the Son is our inheritance. God has placed us in Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote and said, "Grace and peace be yours through God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ."
Amen.
There is no blessing that is part of who Christ is that the Father has not also given to us. For you see, it was only by going to that extent that we could be reconciled to God, that we could be accepted by Him. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Through whom did grace come? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. What is grace based upon? His merit. We've emphasized that over and over again. That's why we can say that grace is infinite. There will always be grace because Christ is infinite.
Amen.
His merit is infinite. If His merit can be exhausted, then grace can be exhausted. Grace is based on the merit of Christ. In giving us Christ, God has given us all the merit that Christ possesses. We use the word justification. In its simple definition, it means just as if I had never sinned. God is holy. He dwells in unapproachable light. No one can get near God or they will die. Even in the Old Testament, the high priest could only enter the most holy place once a year with the blood of a specific sacrifice. And only when he carried the censer with its clouds of incense, filling the air and obscuring the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat where he would sprinkle the blood. He was a sinful man. He could not get too close. Even when he approached the way that God commanded him to approach. But because of the work of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we can enter the most holy place through his body, that is the curtain, on the basis of his covenant sacrifice. You and I can come face to face with God as his children, and God is our Father. This is the glorious riches of His grace that He has blessed us with in Christ Jesus. That is why you and I need to more and more understand the worth of Jesus Christ, so that we can worship Him, not in a cheap way, but in a passionate way. With understanding of this glorious work that He has done for us.
Yes.
That He has brought us in through the Lord Jesus Christ. In our study last week, as we were looking at this God who blesses us, we took the Hebrew word and we joined it with Jehovah. Jehovah Barak, the God who blesses. We saw that the first instance of blessing was when God created man and woman in His image, and then He blessed them. It is God's nature to bless the work of His hands, to bless that which reflects His image, to bless that He has created. God generously confers blessing and favor. Not because of merit, but on the basis of his love and his goodness. It is the nature of God to bless and confer favor. Now, you and I, because of sin, lost the image of God. The psalmist writes about the sin of Israel, and he describes what they did. They exchanged their glory. It is an uppercase G. They exchanged their glory. The revelation of God, the understanding of God, the blessing of God, the covenant relationship of God, they exchanged their glory for that which was made in human likeness, for a lesser God. But when God redeemed us, he restored our position with him. He recreated us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. He has made holy, Hebrews tells us, those who are being made holy. Justified. Positionally with God, we are just as if we have never sinned. We know better about ourselves. We are sinners who still need grace and the sanctifying work of Jesus Christ. But when God the Father looks at us, he sees us as holy in the Lord Jesus Christ, restored to his image, possessing his Son, which is his likeness, his visible radiance. Therefore, when you and I, like God, confer favor and blessing, not on the basis of merit, but on the basis of grace, we are reflecting the image and the likeness of God. Again, when we confer favor and blessing, not on the basis of merit, but on the basis of grace, we are reflecting the image and the likeness of God. What's on the other side of blessing? From a scriptural perspective, cursing. In Deuteronomy 28, Moses detailed the blessings that Israel would experience if they obeyed and followed all the commands that God had given them. He also detailed the curses that would come upon them for their disobedience. He gave instructions to Joshua that when you enter the promised land, take some representatives from the tribes and place them on one mountain. On an opposite mountain, place representatives from the other tribes. And speak out the curses and the blessings to remind that when we are in relationship with God, there is blessing. But when we are out of relationship with God, there is cursing. That paradigm goes all the way back to the garden of Eden. Because blessing is related to righteousness. Curses are related to sin. When Adam was in fellowship and right relationship with God, he experienced God interacting with him. They were in partnership. God brought the animals to Adam. Adam, what do you want to name this one and that one? In the cool of the evening, God would come down and they would walk together in fellowship and relationship. But when unrighteousness entered the heart of Adam, that relationship was lost. Adam was cursed, creation was cursed. As you and I continue to read the stories that follow, we find that when there is righteousness present, people are in fellowship with God. They are blessed with God. There was a man named Enoch, and he walked with God. And then one day, he never came home because God took him home to be with him. I love your fellowship so much, God is saying, that I can't say goodbye to you for you to go back home. Just come home and stay with me. Subsequently, there was a man named Noah who found favor in the sight of God because he was upright before God, while the rest of creation, everything else in existence, was under the curse of God because of sin. Last week we saw that the first instance of the word bless is in Genesis chapter 1. God created humanity in his likeness and his image. He breathed into them, and they became a living soul. It wasn't until God breathed into them that they were alive. But quite distinctly and differently from the rest of creation that had life. The animals breathed. Vegetation had life. But they did not have souls. God imparted something of himself into Adam when he breathed into him. Adam became a living soul. We also saw that through Adam, who was then blessed by God, blessing was intended to come to the rest of creation. As Adam, God's representative, steward and shepherded what God had created, it would be provided for. It would be blessed. But what happened when Adam sinned? The rest of creation was also cursed. The Apostle Paul details the spiritual ramifications of this in Romans chapter 5. By one man's sin, one man's trespass, death entered and came upon the whole world. But through one man's act of obedience, grace came to everyone. The fact is that God created us to receive and give blessing. He created Adam. He blessed him. Adam then was to confer blessing upon the rest of creation. That is God's intended design. For you to receive blessing, for you to confer blessing. And when blessing is not present, the curse of sin prevails. When blessing is not present, the curse of sin prevails. God had given to Adam the ministry of blessing, the ability to impart blessing. It's God's nature to bless, as we emphasized last week. And in response to our sin-cursed condition, God has, out of the riches of his glorious grace, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. again in response to our sin-cursed condition. Out of the riches of His glorious grace, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You see, Adam was to confer blessing to the rest of creation. Having reversed the consequences of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ, God has committed to us the ministry of blessing. And just as Adam's actions determined the blessing or the curse of creation, our actions determine either the continuance of the curse of sin or the impartation of God's blessing. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." Again, in response to our sin-cursed condition, God gave to us the glorious riches of His grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. To those who have so been blessed, God has committed the ministry of blessing. We determine whether or not people remain under the curse of sin or whether or not they experience the riches of God's grace. Let's think for a moment about this word bless and its dynamic. To bless means to will the good for another. Will in the sense of determine or impart. When we will something, as we look ahead to our future, we write a will. We are determining what we are going to leave with whom, how our possessions are going to be divided, what will be imparted to whom. To bless means to will, to determine the good for another, to impart good to another. So, to will means to be made in the image of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, which we looked at in detail last week, God did everything that He did for us, all of these blessings that are described, choosing, adopting, forgiving, making us righteous, blameless in the sight of God. And it says this, according to God's will and good pleasure. He willed, He delighted to impart to us these blessings in Christ Jesus. That is the image of God. It is not something that is supernaturally conveyed. Remember that God spoke the rest of the world into being, but then He made man in His own image. He breathed into him. And He became a living soul. From the depth of God's being into the depth of Adam's being. And He became a living soul. There is an interesting story that takes place when we see Isaac at the end of his life. You remember the story. He sent Esau out to get some venison to make him his favorite dish before he imparted to his firstborn the blessing. In the meantime, his wife and his younger son conspired to defraud Esau of that blessing. Jacob came in pretending to be Esau, after Isaac had eaten the meal, he laid his hands on Jacob, thinking it was Esau, and willed, imparted, determined the blessing of the firstborn for Isaac. Then Esau came back. "Here I am, Dad. I have your favorite meal. Now give me from your soul the blessing that belongs to me. I already gave it away." And Esau begged, "Please, from your soul, give me something." It's an interesting scenario that you and I can hardly touch, hardly understand. The blessing that Isaac gave could not be revoked. It had been given. He had spoken words, and those words could not be retracted. The blessing was his to give. He gave it to the son who deceived him. And even under those circumstances, it could not be reversed. And Esau begged him, "Don't you have something in your soul that you can give to me?" You see, nothing that God did in the rest of creation compared to the fact that he breathed into Adam and made him a living soul. Amen. And out of that possession of God-likeness, he was to bring blessing to the rest of creation. And when he sinned, all of creation lost its blessing. When Isaac gave away the blessing to Jacob, it could not be taken back because it came from his soul. God said these interesting words to Israel as they were at Mount Sinai. God was giving them the laws and the commands, and he said to them, "You treat the stranger and the alien who is among you fairly, justly, and with care, for you know the soul of a stranger. For you yourselves were strangers in Egypt." The soul is the most meaningful, the most valuable, the most priceless part of who you are. It is not up here in your head. It is not in your ability to do and excel in some way. Your soul is the deepest and most important part of you. When you and I give that away to sin, we lose everything, just as Adam did. And when God redeems it back, he makes us alive unto him. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." The soul that does not bless God is cursed. It's dead. It has no responsiveness to God. The soul that blesses God has been made alive unto God, has experienced God imparting the glorious riches of his grace, every spiritual blessing. Now, you and I are the only aspect of creation that can bless. Because blessing is to will, it is to determine. No other species in all of creation has a living soul. No other species in all of creation has the will to bless. The Apostle Paul, again, speaking to the Corinthians, "God who imparted to you his grace and who reconciled you has made you ambassadors of reconciliation." And so, in every interaction that we have with other people, whether within the church or outside the church, we determine either blessing or cursing. There is no middle ground. Just as there is no middle ground between forgiveness and condemnation. Well, I'm somewhat right. God, I didn't get everything wrong. I really appreciate your effort. Enter into eternal life. Doesn't work that way, does it? There's no middle ground. We are either in Christ or without Christ. And only in Christ are we reconciled to God. We are either in grace or we are without grace. There is no middle ground between blessing and cursing. Every interaction that we have, as those who have experienced the blessing of God, whose souls have been made alive, filled with the presence and the life of God, we convey either blessing or cursing. We represent the God of blessing, or we project a spirit of cursing. Blessing is the projection of good into the life of another. This is what it means to will. At the end of our service last week, we read the words that God had spoken to Moses to give to the priest so that blessing would be conferred to the people. Do you remember those words? The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." Once again, we see the heart of God to bless. It is God's nature to bless. God does not delight in cursing. He delights in blessing.
Amen.
The people of God should not delight in cursing, but in blessing. We said last week, cursing goes far beyond words that we might use. We can curse someone with our body language. A husband can curse the heart, the soul of his wife when she says, "Do you love me?" And he hesitates for a moment and says, "Of course I love you." "Why don't you ever say it?" "Well, you know that I love you." That's not the way of blessing. The way of blessing is found in the way that God responds to us, in the way that he pronounces blessing and goodness upon our lives. Say to them, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." God turns his face away from sin. What is the antidote for our sin? It is grace through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we turn our face towards people, we are representing God. We are acting in his likeness. He who came into this world not counting our sins against us, but reconciling us to himself. when you and I turn our faces away from someone and some need, when we have the opportunity to do good, to speak a word of blessing, no matter how small it might be, but we don't. We are acting contrary to the nature of God, opposite the image of God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Read Psalm 121 in the King James. The Lord keeps. The Lord is your keeper. You are here today because the Lord kept you this week. You will be in heaven because He kept you in Jesus Christ. He is our keeper. The Lord keep you. In your pain, in your difficulty, I pray the Lord keep you. In your struggles, your depression, your heartache, your dark hours, I pray the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. And be what? Gracious to you. What's the root word of gracious? Grace. The Lord show you abundant grace. You and I can't get anywhere in life without the grace of God. We will need the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ until the day that we stand before Him. Nothing that we are, nothing that we do will ever count in merit to give us entrance into the kingdom of God. It is only through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace you and I have freely received. As those who have received grace, we should liberally impart grace to others. Amen. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Twice we see the Lord's face. His face shine upon you, His face toward you. How often do you have a conversation with someone, and as you are talking to them, they're like this, they're looking here, they're looking there? Or maybe, as you are talking to them, they're doing this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that person's face toward you? Is their face shining upon you? No. The psalmist prayed this, Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye. Amen. The center of your attention. You and I don't want to be on the margins of God's attention. We want to be at the center of His attention. Amen. We want God watching over the details of our lives and present in every moment with us. So when you and I, as the people of God, reflect His image, we speak to someone, we look them in the eye, we give them our full attention from our heart, from our soul. We understand their need. We understand their need of God's grace. We understand their need of God's blessing and favor, and we speak from our souls. There's a lot of interaction that goes on among us that doesn't fall into the category of blessing. How are you? I'm doing good. Thank God. No words of blessing. No further interaction. We go on our way. We don't think about the person's need. We don't look into their eyes and look into their souls. We don't think about their circumstances and understand that we carry the blessing of God. Amen. To impart to them through our words, just our words, the grace of God, the encouragement, and the help of the Holy Spirit to them. We are priests who are lazy. We are priests who are inattentive. We are priests who are derelict. God has committed to us the ministry of blessing. And we are to impart His blessing and His grace. Ah, parents can say things to children that last a lifetime, positively or negatively. They never forget them. A negative word can stay with us when we are 50 years old, 60 years old. Why? Why don't we just get over it? Because God did not make us to be cursed. He made us to be recipients of blessing, not of cursing. To get over it, we harden ourselves. God never intended it. Conversely, a word can be spoken that will stay with us for the rest of our lives. 50 years ago, my grandfather said something about me that I carry with me every single day. It defines who I am. It defines how I do things. It defines my ethic in life. One word of blessing. In fact, it's about the only thing I can remember my grandfather saying. But he said to me, "There's my hardworking boy." My grandfather was bedridden at that point from a stroke. I was at his place and I was shoveling a large pile of dirt. He could see me outside the window. I worked all day, moving that dirt, leveling that ground. There's my hardworking boy. And to this day, his words are in my ear when I do something. The power of speaking words that are blessing. Solomon reminds us that the power of life or death is where? In the tongue. And it's why Jesus said, "Let your words be yes and no. Anything more and you'll be in trouble." For every one of us will give an account to everything, for everything that we have said. You and I need to understand, just as God intended for Adam to be a source of blessing for all of creation, He has intended you and I to be a source of blessing to the rest of this world. When we act in the capacity that God has entrusted to us, the ministry of blessing, the impartation of grace, the communication of God's favor, we are fulfilling God's purposes for us. But when we fail to do so, when we adopt the attitudes of the world, when we speak as they do, we are cursing and we are the reflection of sin. Let your conversation, we saw in a previous study, always be full of what? Grace. There's not a place for any other words. We are to impart grace, blessing, the presence of God, so that people will experience, just as we have, freedom from their curse and the favor of God being communicated to them. Now, over the last couple of weeks, I've given you two modes of blessing to greet one another and say, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Whenever you and I see one another, let's replace "Hi, how are you doing?" with "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the heavenly realms, we are setting in action a transfer. It is like praying in the name of Jesus. This is how you will bless them, by setting my name upon them. We are conferring the blessing of God. By the same token, when we look with disapproval and condemnation on someone, we are withholding the gracious blessing of God from them. The second thing was this verse of Scripture. At the end of the service last week, I said, find someone with whom you do not usually associate with and speak this blessing over them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face to you and give you peace. Amen. Now here's what happened last week. Most of you thought it was the end of the service. And so you started greeting one another in that way. But I saw Emmanuel go back here and begin to impart those words. For the next few minutes, I want you to find someone else. Men, women with women, older with younger. And I want you to speak words of blessing over someone. Think about their lives. Think about their needs. You know, when someone speaks words of blessing over Cyril, we know he and his family are not able to get a vehicle because of other circumstances. And so our words of blessing should be spoken with that understanding. Yes. You should be aware, I should be aware of one another's needs. Yes. And so when we speak out of that understanding, attentive to who they are, attentive to what characterizes and shapes their lives, attentive to their concerns and their needs, and speaking the blessing of God to be their fullness and their sufficiency.
Yes, amen.
So, find someone, and let's bless one another in the name of Jesus. Amen.